Blog Talk Radio.
Abba, on this day of your holy Sabbath, we come before you bowing the knees of our hearts, beseeching you to please give ear to our prayer. Abba, we thank you for the life that you have blessed us with and for the experiences that we go through from day to day that you use to teach us the truth of your word. Father, we pray that in each and every one of our lives, those whom you have called, those whom you have chosen, those who are near, those who are far, nevertheless, those who are striving to live according to your word, based on your command and your divine will. Continue leading us, Father, by your mighty hand and outstretched arm. Continue chastising us, Abba, correcting us when we go astray. Abba, to forgive us for the sin we commit against you and to cleanse us of our iniquity by the blood of Yahusha. Father, we pray for strength to be given to us all by your Spirit, that we may live our lives doing what is pleasing in your sight. And where we are suffering, Abba, mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually, where we are weak, Abba, help us that we may see our way through, cool, that we face the calamities that lie before us. Help us to be enlightened by your word above all things that you have given to your people, that you have entrusted to us even. May that word be the light we so desire to bring brightness to our lives and allow us to see the working of that old serpent, that we are not ensnared by the various devices that he uses from day to day. Father, we humbly and we sincerely submit this prayer to you in the name of Yahusha, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon-coming King. And we pray that your word be engraved upon our hearts and upon our minds. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Mighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Praise, glory, and honor be to the Most High for the day that he has made. Today, as you know, we are continuing our discussion about Ecclesiastes, and we're going to take a look at a few things that Abba has helped me to see. And if you can hear me clearly, let me check my phone, because I think I may have it. But if you can hear me clearly, just shoot me a text. Let me know that I'm coming through clear. Yeah. All right, so a couple of things. I'm going to just again, you know, and you hear more after more teaching, testifying to a truth without a bar. Okay. Hallelujah. Coming through clear. Amen. But, and one of the things that we discussed at we've been learning this for years, because I think back to times that even Rabbi Gershom and Daniel taught the same thing, you know. Hallelujah. But in our lives, what the Creator does, he uses life experience. And one of the things that we really can't emphasize enough, when we talk about the word, and, you know, you've often heard it say, the living word. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. You know, and I came across a brief interview. This was something that was on the Breakfast Club. And it's actually, you know, a comedian that I like, you know. But he was talking about, you know, his relationship with the Creator. And he was basically saying that it's one-on-one, and he doesn't accept the Bible, and you know, ever since King James put his name on, he had a problem with that. And I understand that. I get that, you know. But as a result, just cast the Bible away, and now he has a relationship with the Creator, you know, one-on-one. But when people say things like that, the question that comes to mind, well, what's that relationship based on? Okay? Because if you have a relationship with the Most High, and when people say that, whenever I hear a relationship, whenever there's a relationship, that implies communication of some sort. So you have to be communicating with the Most High. So if you have this relationship, this one-on-one relationship, and there's some ongoing communication with the Most High, what is he telling you? With the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And he's not telling you what was actually revealed in his word. Then the question is, which God do you have a relationship with? Now, some people hearing that may say, well, it's only one God. True. There's only one true God. one creator of the heavens and the earth. There's only one mighty one of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But we've also been taught that they are God's many and Lord's many. How Yahweh made the heavens, but the nation's gods are idols. We've also been taught that, you see. So when you think about the word, the living word, and the reason I mention that is because in our lives, the Creator has to prove to us that his word is alive. His word is not just something that remains on the scroll or in the book. His word is something, and when we really get into it, and this in no way, shape, or form is to take nothing away from the written versions of the word, or if you have it on your computer or your tablet or what have you. It's not to take away from that. But when you really get into the true essence of the word is spiritual. It's not on paper. This is just something that has been used for man's sake so that we can read and we can discuss and we can relate these narratives one to another. But the word is something that is in you. It is a part of you. But in order for us to better understand that it is a part of us, we have to live life. And this is what we're seeing in Ecclesiastes, where we in Solomon's take on what he has observed and his experience. So he's breaking it down based on the wisdom that he has accumulated from everything that he's been through. But what it is that he's been through is regular life situations. He's living life. That's it. He's living his life, and he's coming across these different questions that he's asking in regard to practical living. That's it. What does any of this mean? And we look at Brother Shlomo, and one of the things that was mentioned when it comes to philosophers, you know, they want to go and they want to talk about Plato, and they want to talk about Aristotle, and they want to talk about Socrates and these great ancient philosophers. Hold up. Why isn't Shlomo mentioned? Because he is tackling a lot of these philosophical views in this writing. When you think about, for example, I'm not sure how many people are familiar with the various schools of philosophy, but if you look up the philosophy of nihilism, right? Nihilism. Nihilism teaches nothing has meaning or substance. Where do you think they got that from? And, you know, one of the problems that I have, and I expressed this, and I'm saying, and this is something that has developed over some time. Intellectualism, scholarship. Because even when it comes to the way of the Most High, everybody's trying to find it in books. And you know what the problem is with that? They are not seeking the Creator with their heart. They're not seeking the Most High based on his spirit, his true essence. They're trying to find it in books. So what they do, they accumulate a wealth of knowledge in books, and they think that the more books they have, the more they're going to get to know the Most High. And that's not it. It's never been about that. We find him when we seek him with our whole heart. You see? So he gave a lot of wisdom, truthfully, to Brother Shlomo. So he's giving him these questions to consider. And then he's teaching him from his experience the answers to these questions. You see, when you think about the philosophies of hedonism, right? Hedonism is basically pleasure seeking. That's what it is. Then you have the stoicism is, that is accepting things beyond our control. You know? But the major difference between what a lot of these philosophies teach and what Brother Shlomo is bringing forth, his perspective is very much different because he actually finds the meaning of life, and he reveals it. He reveals that, and he gives you little glimpses of it as he's going through it. And as was stated in Mr. since we started going through Ecclesiastes, we already know where we're heading, chapter 12. We already know we're going there. A passage that has been often quoted throughout the years by your Mure on various occasions. We know where we're going. But let's just take the time, you know, and, you know, sometimes when you're driving somewhere, you can go the fast route that's going to get you there the quickest, or you can take what they call the scenic route, you know, and slow down a little bit and enjoy the wonders that you see as you're driving through the countryside. Everything doesn't have to be a rush. The reason why we even go in this direction, first and foremost, to be quite frank with you, there's some things that I needed. But in the course of Abba helping me to see some of the things I've needed, he's given me the opportunity now to share with you what it is that he's helping me to see and that a hope that it is also beneficial to you. Because when it comes to being a Mure, this is across the board for all Mure, whether it be a Beth Yahweh, whether it be of some other faction of Israel throughout the four corners of this world. Every Mure being led by the Creator is going to go through experiences so that it helps now to bring forth the truth of the word when he's teaching. You have to teach based on what you know. And what you know is what you experience. So if he wants us to teach his word, we have to experience the word. So let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Starting at verse 1, just to give the brief overview. This is the introduction, and it really lays out what it is we're going to be getting into. And we're going to be coming from the contemporary English version for today, the contemporary English version. The words of the preacher, the son of Dawid, king in Yerushalayim, all is to no purpose, said the preacher. All the ways of man are to no purpose. Now, when he says that, this is what we got to understand. Vanity of vanities, all the vanity. He said it that way. Nothing makes sense, you know, in another translation. But when you really get down to it, we have to be brought to that realization. It's more than just reading it in a book. We have to come to the realization that what Brother Shlomo is talking about is the truth. Truth. You know, he says, verse 3, what is a man profited by all his work which he does under the sun? And when I read that, the first thought that comes to my mind now is what Mashiach said. He expanded on that. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? You see? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Now, he's just expounding on Shlomo's question. You see? But, and in that question that Yahusha asked, it gives us a meaning. You see? See, when he's talking about gaining the world, right? Look at these passages. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, he says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy good in his labor. So I saw that it is from the hand of Elohim. So in all that we do, I mean, whatever that may be, you know, eat, drink, be merry. It's like, don't expect anything more. Don't expect anything less. Listen to what he says. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy good in all his labor is the gift of Elohim, right? And if you drop down to verse 22, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he says, therefore I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work. Portion. For who can bring him to see what will be after him? And when you think about that, see, men have a slanted view of what it means to be successful. You know, think about our people, for example. Now, when it comes to, you know, the black plight, which the more you look at it, what you realize, it's not just the black plight. There's more entailed to that. There is a constructed system at work with the intent and purpose of destroying a very particular people, okay? It's not just about all blacks, like people try to think. And even when you get into a lot of the intricacies of what the adversary has woven in this world system, what you'll find is that it is an attempt, and I say an attempt because as long as the Creator has representatives, the divine order of the Most High will never cease to exist in this world system. That's why the Creator says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the one who give the earth its flavor. You are the ones who are preserving it, because if you didn't exist, there's no reason for this earth to exist. There's no reason for humanity to exist. But because we exist, he's withholding. You see, scripture talks about the four winds being held back. He's withholding. See, what are the four winds being held back from doing? Reaping this. Can you imagine? Anybody ever seen footage of a tsunami before? Can you imagine being on a beach or being near a beach and you see waves coming in taller than the building that you're staying in? Can you imagine how frightening that would be? Have you ever seen a tornado? I mean, footage, of course. Can you imagine seeing a whirlwind coming through your town and snatching up everything in its pathway, vehicles, demolishing houses? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, again, how frightening that would be if you are in the vicinity of something like that taking place? Well, the world hasn't seen anything yet. Wait till the time of judgment comes, when the Creator starts to unleash his forces. Tsunami? Tornado? The world hasn't seen anything yet. You see? Talk about that. But when you look at this world, right, going back, get back on point, the adversary, he has created a system, you see? And in this system, the intent and purpose is to stifle the truth from coming forth, any way, shape, or form. And one of the things that he has to do that, he has to attack the leadership. He has to attack the divine order. When I talk about the leadership, I'm talking about men. Not to say that that's not an attack on women. Of course, there's an attack on humanity as a whole. But there's some things that we have to understand about what's happening to men and women, okay? Well, let's move on, all right? We're in chapter 4 today. And in the East Ward, they entitled this section, Evil Under the Sun, okay? And we talk about being under the sun. Well, all it simply means is everything that's taking place physical realm among humanity, okay? So, in verse 1, listen to what he says, Brother Shlomo. He says, I looked again, and saw to that, what he wrote thousands of years ago, and look at what's going on today. Nothing has changed. Nothing. What that teaches us is the validity and the truthfulness of the word. He says, I looked again and saw people being mistreated everywhere on the earth. They were crying, but no one was there to offer comfort. And those who mistreated them were powerful. Think about that. Think about what's going on in our world today, where you had what people call the 1%, right? You think about the 1%, and you think about the other 99%, right? Now, think about the control that the 1% has and how this system is designed to, as they say, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Do we realize, even though that's a saying, it may be cliche to some people, but that is an actual fact. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And we look at our world today, look at the people who are considered to be middle class or lower class, right? Look at how they view life. Look at what they consider to be successful, you know? And for example, look at our community, okay? In order to show that you are successful, one of the first things you got to have, you got to have a luxury vehicle. Got to have a luxury vehicle, see? And if you don't have a luxury vehicle, you have to wear designer clothes. You know, I remember being young, right, when we were children, and you had family. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say you had family. I was one of those families, you know? We didn't have a lot of money coming up. Let me share a story with y'all. And I didn't realize it. You know, when you were a child, you don't realize a lot of things. But how many of y'all remember the pro players? Those sneakers? They wasn't like, you know, having a pair of Pumas. They were like upside down Pumas. They like the bizarro Pumas, so to speak. Well, I had some pro players. Had the upside down Pumas rocking them. And I had the rock, you know, rocking them through school, and you had to get dirty and all of that, you know. So, you know, in my mind, what I'm going to do, I don't want to walk around with them being all dirty and all messed up. So I decided I'm going to paint them. So we had some white paint down the basement. So I get the little paintbrush, and I'm painting them. I'm trying to be as neat as I can be. But, you know, you're a child. You don't realize that, you know, I mean, in your mind, you think you're doing a good job with it, but somebody else is seeing the scene. Man, think about when your child does something, draws something, paints something. And, you know, I mean, it's not the best work, but because it's your child's work, you appreciate it, and you hang it up anyway. But, you know, it's not the way a picture's supposed to be. Same thing that happened with my sneakers. I'm painting these pro players. I'm making them all white, and I'm ready to go out, rock them more in the school. I'm on the, on the bus stop. And you know how brothers be, uh-oh, the warfare on many sneakers today. Man, what you do with them bags? Well, what you spray painting them or something? No, joke of me for my sneak. But my point in mentioning that is this. What difference did that make? So what, I had a pair of pro players. They may not have been the Pumas or the Nikes or the Adidas that everybody else was wearing. So why are we putting so much value into something that only takes away opposed to bring to the community? You know, when you start learning about the true wealthy, the 1%, they're not out there sporting and wearing a whole bunch of this high-priced clothing like you think. You know, I heard somebody on a little snippet video. He says when he borrows money from the bank, he borrows money to purchase assets. When we talk about an asset, we're talking about something that's going to benefit you, something that's going to eventually reap you some reward. He said, when poor people borrow money, they borrow money for liability. You see? They borrow money, or we as the poor folk, we borrow money, and whatever it is that we get with that money, it's not bringing us anything. That from that. Ultimately, you're going to be putting more money into the vehicle when it comes time for maintenance. You're not getting anything from that. And, I mean, these are little tidbits that the wealthy have knowledge of, but the poor, we don't have knowledge of these things. We weren't being taught these financial, this financial information. So when you look at the world, it's designed that the rich get richer. So now what our people want to do, you know, they want to go out. We were talking about this last week, you know, especially for them cats who was into the hip-hop. They doing the rap and all this type of stuff, and they talking about keeping it real, keeping it street, keeping it gully, keeping it whatever terminology you want to use. You know, and they spitting all this about what they did in the streets and all of that. But now, when it comes to that CD sales or that album sales, and you got the black market and people not going out there and keep buying CDs, we buying one CD and we burn it and giving everybody a copy. So now these same celebrities that's from the street talking about, man, stop doing this and stop doing that. Pump the brakes, bro. You're supposed to be keeping it real. You know how we hustle out here on these streets? Can't knock the hustle, man. What happened to that? It's the hustle. This is how I'm going to make my bread. This is how I'm going to take care of my family, you see? Because in their mind, what they're trying to do, they're trying to make moves to become a one of the one percentile. And guess what? They ain't trying to take nobody with them. Truth be told. Look at Puffy, P. Diddy, or whatever. Look at everybody that he was involved with. Their lives right now. He's elevating financially. He ain't taking none of those people with him. What happened? Look at Jay-Z, Sean Carter. He elevated, right? He's in the billionaire percentile now. He ain't taking none of them people that was around him with him. None of them. See? And part of that is because every human being has this aspect of being self-centered. It's what we are. That's who we are. If we're honest with ourselves, it's about me pleasing me, and everything that I do is based on my pleasure. You see, and you look at the world and the way that it's going, it's being pushed. You see? It's about you. No. What about us? See? So listen to what he's saying. Let's go back to it. He said, I looked again and saw people being mistreated everywhere on earth. They were crying, but no one was there to offer comfort. And those who mistreated them were powerful. Look at your government today. Okay? People in power. And we're not just going to limit it to the government. Like I was just talking about big businesses. Look at what they do today. If you haven't seen it yet, and this is something that we saw years ago, there's a documentary called The Corporation, and I really like that, and I mention that documentary a lot because what they did, they took the DSM definition of a psychopath, right? And they went through each of these different symptoms to determine whether a person is a psychopath, and what they did, they showed that corporations, they are exhibiting each of these symptoms. And that's what I really liked about it. Because when you think about it, it's about themselves. Look at our waters today. You know, Marvin Gaye sang about it, Mercy, Mercy Me. All the pollution and everything that's going on. See, that's the part people don't realize. When you think about the food system today, people say, oh, meats are not good for you. We was never designed to eat meat and this, that, and the third, and they want to go through all of the information that they had to prove that meat is bad for you. But here's the part that they're missing. All that they're going to show and prove in regard to meat being bad is meat that they can actually test, meaning that it's meat that's already contaminated by the pollution that at one point did not exist. The world was not greatly polluted like it is today, before you get the Industrial Revolution. They didn't have all this pollution. The water didn't have all this pollution. You didn't have all, think about oil, right? Think about whenever a rig has an oil spill or oil leak and what that's doing to the ocean. At one point, people wasn't transporting oils like that. So you're talking about meat and you're talking about these animals. Came across a joke said, well, that's why I eat cows, because cows only eat grass, so they vegan. So to stay vegan, even if I eat the cow, I'm a vegan too, you know, which was a little clever way of saying that. But the point being is this, the further back you go, these animals weren't as corrupt and their meat wasn't as polluted. And it didn't cause the same thing to happen in them during ancient times or before the Industrial Revolution that they do today. It's because man is corrupting everything that he puts his hands on. That's what the problem is. I don't see the Creator allowing us to eat something that's ultimately bad for us. You see? And whenever I hear that, the first thing that comes to my mind, what people don't realize, this is an indirect attack on the world. Because if man was never designed to eat meat, then why does the Bible say this meat is good and that meat is good? But they don't realize this is an indirect attack on what the word says. And I believe, and I'm saying I again, I believe that the Creator of the heavens and the earth knows much better than we do. True, the original diet was based strictly on vegetarianism. No doubt about that. No argument with that. But then he opened it up. The question is, why would you ever permit that? If it's something that we shouldn't do. You see? And not only that, when Mashiach walked the earth, if I remember correctly, he ate the same thing. But anyway, let's move on. Verse 2. I said to myself, and this fool, there's something with y'all. This chapter here, for me personally, this was a difficult chapter for me to get through. But when I got through it, a lot of things started to open up for me. Again, you know, because the Creator, he has to take you on his pathway. And you know, it's interesting because we often talk about the journey. And you do a research on the word surah, right? And you'll see that there's a term that it's related to, which actually means journey. So when we are walking or living our lives according to the word of Yah, we are literally on a journey. We are on a pathway. Think about it. Well, how even do they refer to this way of life as halakha, which simply means to walk. Because we are journeying through this life. Now we have an option. We can journey through this life with the Most High, meaning that we're going to live this life and we're going to experience everything that life has to offer. And this is what we got to understand. When we experience everything life has to offer, that means the good and the evil. And this is what Brother Shlomo was going through right here. I mean, it's like all that we experience, you know, we're working to get this and working to get that, but at the end, it's meaningless if, see, and I got to put that if there, because that's the truth. It's meaningless. We're going to see as we go through. But it's me, and I don't want to leave y'all just with that. It's meaningless if, meaningless. He says, I said to myself, the dead are better off than the living. And you don't know how much that resonated with me. But not only that, he says, but those who have never been born are better off than anyone else because they have never seen the terrible things that happen on this earth. Now, about myself, right? One day, I'm assuming it was, if it wasn't my birthday, it was close to my birthday, but I remember very vividly going in the kitchen, 17, 18. I'm going to say, my grandfather was at the sink. He was doing something. I don't know if he was washing dishes or he cleaned the food. He was washing the pans. I don't know what he was doing at the sink. But I went in the kitchen. He turned to me. And this is, I'm not saying this is the only thing he said, but this is what stands out. Said, you know what? You are spoiled rotten. And then he gave me some money for my birthday, you know. But that stuck with me, you know, because when he said that, I'm a child. I didn't know what that meant. I'm spoiled rotten. But as I got older, then I come to learn what it meant, you know. Because I guess I was the first boy after a line of girls in the family. My grandfather had three daughters, my mother and her two sisters. So I was, and when my mother had me, I was the first boy. So apparently they had a big meeting when I was born, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, trip on the plane. What I wanted, I got what I wanted. But there had to come a time in my life where you don't always get what you want. So then what I would do, I would have these tantrums, right? And one of the things that I remember saying, I wish I was dead. You know, a lot of people probably say that. They don't go their way in life. I wish I was dead. But then as I got older, right, as I got older, and I come to learn about a little bit more about death and dying and things like that, well, I stopped wishing that I was dead. I wish I was never born. I wish I never existed. You know, because in my mind, see, now that I know this, to die means that I'm going to have to go either to heaven or to hell. So, you know what? In my mind, this is how I rationalize it. You know, I don't want to go to heaven or go to hell. I just can you do that? Just make it so I don't exist. That I just never was here. And sometimes, when things are not going on in your life the way that you want, and I got to speak for myself. Sometimes I feel that way. You know, but the spoiled little brat had to learn that you don't get everything that you want. You know, and I shared this with you all before. When I was younger, I never had thoughts about getting married. That was never part of my lifestyle. I always looked through all those fears. We used to get the magazine every Christmas. It was either Sears or Popular Club, whatever my aunt was involved with. But I think the Sears one was the more popular because it was the thicker one, you know. And I just remember looking through that and looking at the ferns and stuff and then just imagining when I get older, I like to have this in my house, or I like to have that in my house. But I never incorporated having a wife or having children. Never thought about that, you know. So when I was younger, you know, I had intimacies. It was never anything serious, though, with girls younger than me. You know, I was young, too. It wasn't like I was not 18 or old. I was young, too. You know, early teens and all that type of stuff. But it never was, it's sad to say, but to be frank with you, it didn't mean anything. But when I got a little older, right, then, you know, getting high school, and look at, you know, the older you get, I guess to some degree, the more mature you get, at least you think you are. You're still a child, but you think you're growing up. So in my mind, I wanted a relationship, you know. I didn't just want to be with these girls like that, and that, you know, it didn't mean nothing. I wanted to have somebody that I can romance. You know, because, you know, one of my favorite genres of music, I'm making this a genre, slow music. That's my all-time favorite genre. More than dance music or anything else. Oh, I used to love when my people be listening to the slow stuff. You know, the stylistics and, you know, you got your Earth, Wind, and Fire, and you got your Delph Farns, you know, the old school groups. Who was singing about this love. You know, I just get caught up. I mean, that's my favorite thing, even more than movies and TV. It's music. Because you can listen to this music, and this music, it takes you away. You know, and I'm the type of person that when I hear a song, because I just came across something recently, when I hear a song, I can sit and listen to that song on repeat over and over and over. Of course, I have to be by myself because anybody around me there gets tired of hearing that. And especially with certain songs, when the music is right, and then if the music is right, and then that singing be right too. Sometimes the singing be right, but the music is not all that, or vice versa. But if they both clicking, oh, I listen to that boy over and over. So that's what I wanted. I wanted love, you know. I wanted that romance. I wanted to do all of that, right? So I tried it. And it was heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. Oh, boy, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be frank with you. Again, I decided, and let me say this about myself, too. I wasn't the type of person, you know, when it comes to talking to a young lady or whatever. If that young lady already has somebody, I'm not the type of person that wanted to talk to that person, you know, because I felt like, if I was to do that, then I wouldn't want nobody doing that to me. You know, talking to my girlfriend, you know, that's my girlfriend or what have you. So if somebody had to go, I'm not going to talk to this person. I wanted somebody that was single that, you know, wasn't connected to anybody. Keep my hands up and ask, forget about this. I'm going out in the world. You know, and there's a song that got, because I'd be on the social media, I'd be on TikTok, right? And there's a song, I think Chisa got it, and it said, I can hear the street call. I don't know if y'all all heard that, but that's the mindset. That comes to my mind after all these heartbreaks I was going through. Like, I can hear the street call, so this is what I'm going to do. And you know, forget about this. I ain't trying to be alone. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to start knocking these girls down. Because now what I wanted to do, because y'all know I was a little local DJ and all this type of stuff. And I didn't want to tell people that. I don't want no girl being with me because that's DJ Club. I don't want that. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use it. And all these women, I start using it. Hey, baby, how you doing? I'm DJ Club, this, that, whatever, whatever. You know? So I start getting them, lining them up. Here comes Shelly. And then, okay. I'm going to give it one more shot at this love thing, because she came back into my life. One more shot. Now, remember, because I told her when I met her, I had some stuff lined up. You know how my wife is. Now, you need to let them know you got somebody now, and whatever, okay? And I called them up and said, you know, it was done. Not that it was serious anyway, because we didn't build anything. I had to put all my time into my effort, you know, into trying to build this thing. It's this part right here. Now think about the spoiled brat and wanting everything his way, right? But when it comes to doing that, sometimes things is not going to go your way, you know? And as I said before, being on that emotional roller coaster and looking back at everything that was happening with me. And I was at a point this past week. And my brother, let me put this out here. I was not in the mood for fellowship when you called me. I was just having a moment, you know. And even when you had popped up outside my door, you didn't know it, but I was crying. But I went into my van first, got my face and all that together, then I came over and greeted you at the truck, you know, because I was having a moment, you know. And in the moment, and, you know, this started earlier during the week. But it's like what I was thinking about, man, I put a lot of work into being everything that I needed to be for this woman. And now she's gone. And I can truly say, and Abba as my witness, oh, and that song comes to mind from Molly Music, Fight For You. Oh, y'all don't know. I fought for that. Because I wanted it so bad, you know. And then I start to feel like, after all that fighting, and now she's gone. Now I feel like it's all for nothing. I went through all this for nothing, and now here comes Abba. Go through a Cleveland accent. Nothing makes sense. Everything is meaningless, and that's how I. That's where I was. That's where I am. What difference does it make now? Thing is meaningless now. No matter what you do, things is not going to turn out the way that you want it to turn out. Why do I even exist here now? I don't want this. I didn't want this. This is not how I wanted my life to be. But then, I would use something. You know, I'm not losing. I'm scrolling through TikTok, and I come across this video. And it's this song playing in the background, and it catches me. And I hear this song. I even asked the person who put it up, what song is this? But then that never got a response from me, so I looked in my own research. So I found it. And in an unusual place, it was on a Drake album. But there's this little song. It's this short little song. I don't know if any Drake fans in the audience, but I think it's his last album, 2021. I think it's like Certified Lover Boy. I think that may be the title of it. But anyway, there's this little song, and the name of the song is called Never Heartbreak. And it's just like, it's like if you ever heard it, it's like they put the last part of the song on. They didn't, and it's not like a typical song, start from the beginning, go to the end. You can tell that it's just a little snippet. They started in the middle or possibly towards the end. So I was listening to this song, and, oh, boy, you're talking about the waterworks. Because initially, and this is how it played out with me. Initially, it was me listening to this song, and I know some of y'all listen to it. What does anything you saying have to do with the word? Well, we're going to get to it. You know, my brother said something to me last week, and it's true. You know, I guess for the past few times that I've had opportunity to speak, you know, it's like a therapy session for me. Maybe it's therapeutic for you, too. I don't know. You know, but this is an opportunity. This is me sharing with you all some of the things that the Creator has taken me through with the hopes that when you go through your situation, don't lose sight of. You know, it's not just something that you're reading in a book now. This is the main point, you know. When people go into things, a lot of times people will say, hey, read that, read this, read that. Now, you have an actual person, and if you come out to the park today, you know, you can actually shake my hand and say shalom, and I say shalom to you, and, you know, I can give you a hug. I mean, I'm a real person. I'm a real person. Y'all knew my wife, many of them. Y'all knew my son. So the things that I'm sharing with y'all, this is real experience. You don't have to worry about, you know, what something Solomon wrote about. You ain't no Solomon. We didn't know him. We have no connection to Solomon like that. So what? You went through this. So what? You went through that. And I'm just speaking in the context of, you know, somebody going through things that you really don't know. We read about it, we learn about it, we may empathize with it, but if you know somebody though, you see, when you know somebody and you have a personal relationship with them, regardless of how close the relationship is, y'all know me. Y'all have known me, some of you have known me for the majority of your lives. Because I'm thinking about me personally. I've been living this way for the majority of my life. I've been blessed me to see 53. Most high would, and I see 54. But I've been in this way of life for better be 34 years. Like I said, the majority of my life was establishing a relationship with the Creator. So now to my life, who would you mean we coming to your life? Who you? It ain't about that. you know, a little different. Nevertheless, they experience it. You hear it every week with any of the Murray teachers. They teach it from their first. Look at what Murray Dale Well had to go through so Ira can bring him to where he needed to be. Look at what Brother Mara Av had to go through so Ira can bring him where he needed to be. Aria, all these brothers. And sisters. I'm sure Murat Aliyah got some stories to tell. I know she did. Lot of sisters. Numa Devora. She got some stories to tell. She's coming through a situation. She got a story to tell. We know her. So when she's ready to share her story of her ordeal, guess what? We got to listen because she got some experience now with the Creator. So sometimes when it comes to the Word, it's not just about me reading through Ecclesiastes and trying to explain every verse. Sometimes it's going through the Word, and I got to tell you, it's for real because I'm going through stuff. I ain't got to stick to what Solomon said. I'm going through it on my own. Whether he said it or not, I'm experiencing things. I'm fighting. I'm wrestling with me and my mindset and how I see things. Public enemy number one, the man in the mirror. And how we view things. And how difficult it is for us to get away from how we see things. See, what we want to do, we want to get into the Word, and we want to find the Word to incorporate into our mindset. That's not the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to lose ourselves. What he say? Save his life for to lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's what he's saying. Do we understand what that means? Is that not a pleasant scripture to quote? We got to live that at some point. We got to lose who we are. How do we lose who we are? I've got to bring it to the forefront, what you got to lose. How do we do that? Life experience. That's how. Because we don't realize what's messing us up. So something has to happen. That's why it was necessary for the evil. Adam and Hawa did what was necessary. When they opened that door, it was necessary that we experience all these calamities because that's what the Creator had in mind. It was his will. He could have just like that, stay thy hand, Hawa. That old serpent is being moved by the adversary. Don't listen to him. You think the Creator didn't know what was happening? He watched it. Some people hearing it say, you mean to tell me the Creator lost? Absolutely. You know why? Because humanity had to be a little lower than Elohim for a reason. He already created sons of Bnei Elohim, the Melechim. He already did that. And when that evil, because they had a choice too, when that evil was found in them, guess what? Their fate was sealed because they are in the reality. But he did something different with us. We got the same spirit in us. And that's what we got to understand. That's that eternity. See, the spirit of life in us, that's an eternal spirit. That spirit don't die until the Creator kills it. And that is when the final judgment takes place. See? So we have these spirits in us, and the difference between us and Melechim is that house in this flesh, and it's bound to the physical world. And because we're bound to the physical world, there are things that we have to experience that more so lean towards the darkness. We are all born into this world as seeds of the serpent. That's why everything took place the way that it did. In the garden. So now, since you are born in this mindset, you are born carnally behind it, in opposition to my word, the person, in spite of that carnality, who is choosing and striving, think about what we got to do. In spite of, I made a choice. I was done trying to do all the love stuff. I was done. I'm ready to run out there. I'm going to be a man whore. Because men are whores too. And pardon my language, but that's the truth. If you prefer, a man harlot. Okay? It's unfortunate that those terms are reserved for women. No, men are harlots too. The Creator don't make a distinction. Trust. The Creator doesn't make a distinction. And if I had my way, that's what I would be doing. But the Creator in his wisdom, to all of these things you learn, like they say, 2020 hindsight 2020, you learn after the fact. So now what's happening with me, because of what's going on in my life, now the Creator's starting to piece things together and help me to see the direction. He's been leading me the entire time. So now the intent and purpose of me sharing this is not to get away from the word. It's to use the word to let y'all know this word is for real. It's for real. So back to the story. I fought for her. And then I lost her. And then I became broken. And I feel like, what's the point of doing anything? But then he plays the song. And when I'm listening to the song initially, it's like, I want somebody to sing that to. You know? Call it corny. Call it whatever you want. You know, people look at that as being a weak person. That's okay. It's me. You know what I have to accept too? I am the way that my Father made me. That's what I am. The way that the Bible of something that Rabbi said, being in love with love. Oh, I love that. So when I heard this song, and it's called Yeba's Heartbreak, right? No, listen to it. And initially, when I heard it, you know, think about my wife and, oh, I was sitting here, I was singing the tune, I say, oh, and, but then, like I said, I had it on repeat. Oh, I listened to that song so many times, I can't even count. Over and over and over and over. But each time I listen to it, something happened. And initially I was in my mind, I said, oh, I'm about to sing this to my wife. But you know what? The Creator joke. And if you listen to the words, you'll understand what I'm saying. As I listen to it, what I realized is that it was the Creator singing to me. He knew what I mean. He knew what I mean. He knew what I mean. from Israel. And he said, son, how you going to represent me if you don't know what I go through? How you going to represent me if you don't know how much I love my people? And my people always play hard. No matter how much I do for them, my people always want to do things the way they want to do it. No matter how much you show a person you love them, and they keep throwing it back in your face, how are you going to know what I go through? If only one way you're going to know that. You got to go through it. And that's what we got to see. The only way we can represent the Most High and speak for the Most High, we got to go through what he goes through. Because you don't have to trust my word. Read Hosea. Why do you think that book is there? It's not enough for us to just read that and then try to imagine how it feels. Yeah. You got to feel it. See, it's like that guy who supposedly, he did some like a video or whatever he did. And for this year, he's going to live according to the Bible. And you're playing with it. But you ain't really living according to the word unless you, like the brother said, we that arm, her, and that shield, the shield of faith. You cannot pretend to live according to the word. You got to really exhibit faith. And that's the thing. You know, you come across these atheists, you come across these agnostics, say, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. That's fine. But it can be proven to you. It's not me matching with the trying to prove to you, and I'm going to show you this and show you that. No, the Creator is great all by himself. The Creator will prove to you he exists. But this is what you got to do. You got to believe. Not believe in, you know, somebody's interpretation of the word, which that's the problem today. Everybody has their interpretation, and people are flocking to somebody's interpretation of the word. So you're never learning about the Creator. You're learning about how this person decided to present the Creator. That's the difference. You're not learning about him. You're learning about how somebody perceives him. The only way you learn about him, he chooses somebody, and he reveals himself to somebody, and he sent that person for. Because that person knows me. I sat with him. I talked with him. I revealed myself to him. That's how he chooses his leaders. But the world don't know that. They don't understand that. They're ready to flock to anybody who's charismatic, anybody who's telling them something that appears to be or sounds like it's new and different. That ain't how the Creator works. It's simple. Ask me a question. If it's the truth, you're going to get this answer. Ask me next year. Guess what? I'm going to tell you the same thing. Ask me 5 years from now. Guess what? I'm going to tell you the exact same thing. Ain't going to change. Unless it's something in error. If you'd have asked me years ago about wearing locks, the answer would have been one thing. Now you're asking, from henceforth, the answer going to be the truth about it. Because there was some error involved, see? You have to be willing to make these changes. See, people don't know that. We have to change things the way that we saw things. We had to change. But anyway, let's move on. Let's try to get through this. He said, verse 2, I said to myself, the dead are better off than the living. But those who have never been born are better off than anyone else, because they have never seen the terrible things that happen on this earth. And again, I understand why he says that. You know, I understand. Verse 4. He says, then I realize that we work and do wonderful things just because we are jealous of others. Think about that. Think about the whole, what they call it, keeping up with the Joneses. See? And you see this sometimes, and they portray it in different movies, comedic. You know, you got the one neighbor who do this. Matter of fact, they did it for like a, I think it was called Christmas Vacation or something like that. And, you know, this person, they put their lights on there. And then the other person, they wanted the outdoor, so they put something else up. And the other person, they wanted the outdoor. It's like people, to some degree, are unknowingly competing with one another. And even with that, think about that. The creator, the competitive sport, I don't care what it is. That's not the creator's will. That's not his will. So why do you have so much competitiveness? All this does is just gives people the mindset that you have to compete. No, you don't have to compete with one another. You don't even have to compete for the affections of the creator. But think about what it does to people. Everybody sort of has to compete. So you got sports now that's doing. Then you got these game shows. Like something I thought was profound that Whoopi Goldberg said. She was talking about the American Idol or one of those shows on TV. I mean, at the end of it all, it's only going to be one winner. So what out of all the people that goes up for the American Idol or any of these other game shows, America's Got Talent or what have you, you only going to have one winner. What does that say to everybody that loses? You know? Now you got this thing about, you know, they have the participation trophies and stuff like that. And some people are against that. Man, you shouldn't have no participation trophy. But that's fine. I take it a step further. You don't even have to have competitive sports. Everybody trying to be the best. You know what the Messiah said? They asked him that. Which one of us is going to be the greatest? He said, you want to be the greatest? He said, be the least. Total opposite. So with everybody trying to make themselves the better of everyone else. That ain't impressive to him. That's why Brother Shaul, when he was talking about this way of life, he compared it to the marathon. And as Moray Ahavau brought out, as my brother said so eloquently when he was teaching before, the trainer ain't worried about who come in first. Because when it comes to that, the first righteous man that dies is going to be the first that resurrects. Truth be told, the first that gave up his life. But what the creator's doing at that finish line, he just want to make sure everybody crosses. So he's up there, he's waiting. And when the next person comes, you're going to get a pat on the back. Good job, my good and faithful servant. Come on, person, come cross that line. Good job, my good and faithful. He's waiting to see who crosses that line. He just don't want you to get. He ain't going to have no lineup. He said, third place, second place, first place. That's not how that's going to be. Guess what? We all get an eternal life. How we know that's the fact? Because he gave another parable, said, hey, I'm going to give you a talent if you work in my field for the day. Some people start at 6 o'clock in the morning. Some people started at 8. Some people started at 10. Some people started at 12 in the afternoon. Some people started at 2 in the afternoon. Some people started at 4 in the afternoon. Some people started at 6, that before the sun blazed set. And guess what? The people that started early said, hey, how are they going to get the same thing we getting? And we've been working all day. And the credit will say, hey, didn't you get what you agreed to work for? God is content with what you got. You see, we all going to get the exact same gift. There's no first place, second place, third place. No. We all going to inherit eternal life. So this whole idea of competitive sports is to keep people in the mindset of competing. I want to be the best, the best, the best. No. That's not the creator's will. But he listened to what he said. Again, verse 4. Then I realized that we work and do wonderful things just because we are jealous of others. This makes no more sense than tasting the wine. He says, fools will fold their hands and starve. What do you mean by that? Who So I started to look into it a little further. And basically what he actually means, you know, okay, it's like the foolish man, the fact that he said he folds his hands. This is the person that's doing nothing. Okay, foolish man. He's comparable to what people refer to as a sluggard, right? That means he's not, and the fact that he's folding his hands, that means he's not working, he's not doing any type of labor, right? And he's giving himself away to idleness, okay? But then he says, yet. No, back up. First he talked about the ones that's working and doing these things just because they're jealous of others, okay? You got the ones who hustling. You think about the person that works, you know, like I've heard people say, I work 7 days a week, and they proud of that because, you know, it's like I'm willing to put forth, you know, whatever effort I need to do this or do that, to take care of this or take care of that. And what, you know, it's like these commercials that were out years ago. This guy say, I work hard so I can party hard. That's the mindset, you know. Working hard so they can party hard. And what they mean party hard, they see all these videos about what the celebrities is doing, you know, lifestyles of the rich and famous, you know, and everybody's striving to get that lifestyle, which it absolutely and positively has no meaning, no value, okay? Then you got the one, but then you got the other end of the spectrum. You got the fool sitting with their hands folded, starving and stuff. They ain't doing nothing. They're lazy. And what do they do? You got these people who's living off of society. You know, we were talking about this recently, you know. Think about the social programs that, you know, when we get into the political party, you got the one political party and the Republicans who want people to get out there and work. You got the other political party, which is the Democrats, who want to set up all these social programs and not realize that these social programs are making people lazy. Granted, they are only good if they're used for the purpose that they were created for. Meaning, if a person is unemployed and he needs some money to keep himself on, you know, keep himself afloat until he can find another job, that's good. If a person gets on social services, I was on social services, received the cash assistance and received the food stamps. But it was temporarily until I got another job. And once I got a job and then I worked that job for a period of time, then it stopped. I didn't need that anymore. But you got some people who are living off of it. That's the fool sitting with his hands folded. Okay? And look at verse 6. He says, yet a very little food eaten in peace is better than twice as much earned from overwork and chasing the wind. In other words, this is what he's talking about. Contentment. Contentment. How many of us have contentment? In other words, the desiring no more than what one has. In other words, being satisfied. Some people say, I'm not going to be satisfied until I have $1 million. So now you got $1 million. Are you satisfied now? Think about it. I don't even have to say. Let's read this. See? Matter of fact, something we learned years ago. I believe it was a wise man or a wealthy man. Like a wealthy man learns to be content in whatever state that he's in. Wealthy. And that goes right back to what we read earlier. Let me go back to that real quick, and then we move on. And Ecclesiastes 3:22. Therefore, I thought that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his works, for that is his portion. What is it that's going on in your life? Well, let me say this. That doesn't mean that if I like to do something else, you know, you're working somewhere, you know, I like to get a job doing something else. Okay, that's fine. You know? You know, get a job doing something else. You know, but for some people, it's like they have this mindset where things have to be fresh and new all the time. And when people have that mindset that things have to be fresh and new all the time, they actually set themselves up for problems because things are not going to be fresh and new all the time. So now what you find yourself doing is just like Solomon said, you're chasing after the wind. Whereas at some point we have to learn to be satisfied. And then if we can move to another area, then you, again, learn to be satisfied. But as long as you still have this mindset, and it's not searching for the creator, and that's another point too. It's not like they're searching for the creator. They're searching for you know, physical things, material possessions, and things like that. No. And again, the point that we ultimately going to get to, once you have that relationship with the Most High, what more can you ask for? The reason why a lot of people in the world are going through what they're going through, you know what they ultimately searching for? They're searching for the Creator. That's what they really desire. But what the adversary did, he set up a smorgasbord, and you name it. What's in that smorgasbord? You name it, it's in there. Anything that can keep a man distracted from his true desire, which is the Creator, in there, in that smorgasbord. And so many people, they get caught up. Just imagine. Imagine going into a big auditorium or a big building, right? And this building, they have everything that their heart can desire, you know, in this physical realm. If it's women, you got a place over there with nothing but women. If it's men, you got nothing but men on this in this section. If it's cars, it's nothing but cars. Then you got the jewelry, then you got the money, and then you got all, you name it, it's there. And there's some people, they just imagine how, you ever been to a place? You know, I mean, if you go into a place where you like whatever it is that they sell, and you can find yourself in that place probably fucking around and everything, and next thing you know, you don't realize the time has passed, and you in that, and that's just in one section. But what we got to do now, this is life. So we be in this one place for a period of time in our lives, and then we come to the realization and don't even realize we were there that long. Next thing you know, something else catches our attention. Then we gravitate over to that. And now we're over there, and this is what we're trying to do. And next thing you know, you realize you've been over there for 3 to 5 more years. And this is what happens to us in life. And this is what the adversary does to us to keep us distracted. To, you know, like we were talking years ago, what's your carrot, right? Whatever that bait is, that's what he's going to put up there. Because your desire is for something else. But what he's going to do, he's going to keep something in front of you so you never focus on what you truly desire. All right? So, is what he was talking about there. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7, it says, once again, I saw that nothing on earth makes sense. Here we go. Vanity of vanity. And everything that was being done, it's like, whichever direction, whether you're the fool that's sitting with the hands folded, whether you're the person that's trying to acquire all this stuff, listen to what he says. Verse 8, for example, some people don't have friends or family, but they are never satisfied with what they own, and they never stop working to get more. They should ask themselves, why am I always working to have more? Who will get what I leave behind? What a senseless and miserable life. And when you think about, you know, people talking about, that goes right back to generational wealth, you know. Now people want it, black folk is on this economic kick. We got to have generational wealth and all this type of stuff, which is fine, you know, which is fine. But is that the most important thing? I get it. You don't want your children to suffer or struggle as much as you did, right? Okay, I get that. $10 million who grew up basically experiencing what it means to be rich or what it means to be wealthy. Now, if you as an individual come from poverty, that means that there's a possibility that you had to learn certain things. Your children will never learn that because they didn't come from where you came from. They never experienced what it means to be poor. You know, you hear about a lot of these rappers talking about the project. Well, they don't live in the project. Well, if the project was all this and all that, how come you ain't still living there? You know the situation is bad then. But yet your music, and I'm going right back to something I talked about earlier. I'm not going to dance around on that subject too much longer. But y'all get the people, they get money. They want to get out of the hood. You know? They want to get out of it. Yet they portray like they're so much a part of it. No, you're not. You don't live in the hood anymore. You live in Manhattan now. You live up in, you know, one of these high-rise condominiums now. Or you live in some big house up in the, you know, countryside now. Someplace exclusive, a gated community. You're not living that life anymore. So now your children will never experience what it means to live that life. So a lot of the things that you may have learned, your children are not going to get that because they didn't have that same experience. And it's going to be different for them. They grew up privileged, you see? And I say all of that for people who want to talk about, you know, generational wealth. Sometimes it's good if a child learns to struggle. When people try to avoid having struggle, you know, and I'm going to take you back off of something that my brother also said, how that adversity builds character. It does. Adversity builds character. So if you want to live your life to avoid certain struggles, then you are avoiding growth in some area. No, you're supposed to have some struggles. I think back to what me and my wife went through, you know, from the little two-bedroom apartment. And, you know, we even then struggled to pay the bills. But all that we went through, and we know we had a chance to talk many, many times before you passed away. And you know, one of the conversations we had was, if we knew what we knew now, then, how things would have been different. But the reality that we came to, we wouldn't know what we know now, except we went the pathway we went. So again, it was beneficial. See? He said, verse 9, and this is another part that really got to me. You are better off to have a friend than to be all alone, because then you will get more enjoyment out of what you earn. If you fall, your friend can help you up. But if you fall without having a friend nearby, you are really in trouble. If you sleep alone, you won't have anyone to keep you warm on a cold night. Someone might be able to beat up one of you, but not both of you. And right there, you know, again, going back to what my wife and I went through and something I had shared before, and this, I come to realize this, you know, as far as, you know, we had study partners, you know, Javier. This is when we were in our Jewish phase and our Talmudic classes and things like that, you know. But if you have a spouse, your spouse is your Javier. You know, of course, you know, I was feeling some kind of way going through that. But my encouragement to all of the couples, all of the spouses out there, there's absolutely, positively, no reason for any of you to have any type of malice, ill will, ill intent toward one another. And I'm jumping on this late. It was mentioned years ago by a couple of brothers, I believe, Morey Ahab Al talked about it. Morey Yara Al talked about it. The book, The Five Love Languages. It will definitely help you when you learn how your spouse communicates love, or how they, and how your spouse wants love to be communicated, and that goes both ways, because we have to learn our love language. So I need to learn how I prefer love to be communicated to me. And my spouse would have to learn how love is communicated to them. So now it's my task to communicate my love to them that the, in the form of fashion they desire it, so that they know that they are loved. And it's their responsibility to communicate to me love the way that I desire it. That means humility from both the husband and the wife. But somebody set something out early today. Praise be and honor be to the Most High, because timing is everything. So getting to this last part, it says, as the saying goes, a rope made from three strands of cord is hard to break. Think about that now. See, and I say timing is everything because I believe Ema Bithia, she sent out a little picture earlier. Now, I don't know that she sent it out in a text, but she sent it out. She made a picture on the what is that called? That this Bible app, YouVerse or something like that. Bible. Anyway, she made a picture on this Bible app, and then she had husband, wife, Yahushua, right? So when you think that, and it's time back into the marriage. So now let's go back to the man and the woman, right? So you have that man, Ish, and you have that woman, Isha. And that man, you have that yod. And that woman, you have that hey. So when that man and that woman come together, the third strand that's going to bring the two together is the yod and the hey, which is Yah. See, according to the will of the Most High, there's no reason why there shouldn't be love in that relationship. Not saying it's going to be perfect immediately after you hearing me say this, but from henceforth, the problems that you have in your relationship should start to decrease. You know why? Because you love one another. And if you really love one another, you are going to do whatever it takes to show that love to that person, because you don't want to lose them. You don't want to lose them. And this is what he's talking about. It's better for that to be two than to be one. Love your spouses. And I'm not saying not to come to me if there's an issue that you want to discuss. But I am telling you that you have the tools at your disposal to fix any problem in your relationship. You just have to be open to communicate. And by communicate, not just talking and telling, by listening and paying attention, by putting effort into understanding where your spouse is coming from, not having this mindset that you know your spouse better than she or he knows themselves. No, accept what they say to you. And if there's an issue, change it. Fix it. Because what you're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be emulating the relationship of Mashiach, Yahushua, and Yisrael. That's what we all do in our relationships. We emulate that. And you know what the command is? We talked about it before. Husbands, you want to be the head of the household. You want to talk about your authority. Guess what? Here's your first command. Love your wife. Love them. And guess what else he say? Just like the Messiah loved the church and gave his life for it. In other words, husband, love your wife, give your life for your wife, is what he's saying. But it won't be for nothing. And wives, you know what you're supposed to do. Submit to your husband as you would unto Adonai. That's his word. Do that. The scripture says that you can win your husband, even if it's a disobedient husband, by your chaste behavior. That's how you act. All we have to do is what the Bible's been telling us the whole time. Now, what man has just done, he has gotten a little more detail, but everything that he said is in the Word. You get into each of these five love languages, guaranteed, the word teaches it. Guaranteed. They're showing it. But the word teaches it, but as individuals, we have to learn what our individual language is. Some of us may have more than one, but we always have that primary, you see? We always have that primary. So hopefully those who listen and take heed, you know, there's no reason for any member of Israel who is living their life according to the word to have problems in their household, especially in marriage. Okay? Because guess what? Just like he said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Right? Just like he said that. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. It has power. Just like he said, you're not supposed to eat certain things. It has the same power. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It has the same power. Okay? Same power. So, in closing, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting at verse 13 now. He says, now he's looking at it now from the perspective of somebody that's in power. Because remember where we started. He started talking about, I looked again and saw people being mistreated everywhere on earth. They were crying, but no one was there to offer comfort. And those who mistreated them were powerful. So now in COVID, he's going to talk about the powerful. Okay? He said, you may be poor and young, but if you are wise, you are better off than a foolish old king who won't listen to advice. Listen to that. And pay attention to what he said. Even if you were not born into the royal family and have been a prisoner and poor, you can still be king. Now think about what he can possibly be gleaning from. Because he talked about something that actually happened. He said, I once saw everyone in the world follow a young leader who came to power after the king was gone. Now, but you know, the funny thing with this, though, and I'm going to finish it out, got one more verse and we're done. The funny thing with this is the thought the Creator gave me about that, we're dealing with celebrities again, you know? And there's a terminology that people use, you know, 15 minutes of fame. Everybody gets their 15 minutes. Not everybody. Some people never get 15 minutes because they never become that famous, you know. But the ones that become the superstars, you get your 15 minutes, you know. But at one point, you're going to be in all over the place. But at some point, nobody wants to see you anymore. They're tired of you. And this is what he's saying. This is what he's actually going to talk about. At some point, they get tired of you, and now they want something new. Now, remember what we were talking about earlier, how people, you know, sometimes if they looking for the next new thing. And then once you play with that, okay, that's it, bam. Children, right? You get a child a toy. Hey, I want this toy. Okay, get them that toy. They play with it. Next thing you know, that toy on the floor somewhere, and they moving on to something else. They tired of it. This new thing. You know, for example, we're supposed to go to a gun show tomorrow, right? Now, what I can say is this. I understand why people collect guns. I understand why. Because it's like, ooh, check this gun out. Oh, I'd like to get this one. You say, ooh, check out this rifle. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Oh, I'd like to get that. Next thing you know, you're buying this. Same in the car. I understand. But truthfully, you don't need a whole bunch of weapons. At the very least, you need two, a sidearm and maybe a rifle. At the very least, you don't need a whole bunch of weapons. But people got a whole bunch. People talk about they got like, you got a line of pistols, let's just say Beretta, and they got a line of, and people got every last one of them. Well, guess what? You only can shoot one, possibly two at a time. What's the rest of them going to do? You ain't packing, let's say if you are a prepper, you ain't packing up all of them, taking them. That's too much to carry. It's too much. But this is how we do. We accumulate. It's like, think about the wealth again, going back to that. How many houses do you really need? Let's be honest. And within said house, how many rooms do you really need to be comfortable? How much? But people, it's to access, and what I believe, it's like, so I'm going to get this house here, and you know what, I'm tired of living right here. I'm going to go to the house in this other state, so I'm going to stay there for a little bit. Okay, well, you know what, I'm tired of staying here. Let's go to this house we got in this other state. And that's humanity. But it's like they still seek and then they search it, and they never find that contentment. It's back, and that happened. And then what the Creator put in my mind, and you know, the image was like going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then the thought was to and fro, to and fro, to and fro. And then the thought was by every wind of doctrine. Because when we think about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, we just think about it by just that doctrine. I'm going to this church. I'm going to go to that church. I'm going to be in this place. I'm going to go in that place. No, it's not just that. It's pertaining to everything. It's to connect it by some doctrine of some sort. It may not be presented as a doctrine, but they have a name for it, materialism. That's a doctrine. It's a mindset. And when people caught up into materialism, you know what happens? They get tossed to and fro. I got to wear what the latest fashion is. Or you got some Nikes on from last year? Man, shoot. I got the Nikes on that ain't even come out yet. They come out in the fall. I got them already. So what? It's a pair of shoes. But you got so many people who caught up into that. See? Oh, that's so last year. So what? From there, it's like they got to keep up with the Joneses. Hopefully everybody understands what's happening. This is what Solomon is saying. He's saying people getting caught up into all of this foolishness, and it don't mean nothing. It doesn't benefit you in any way, shape, or form. But you're being tossed to and fro. That's why I say it's like you try to chase after the wind. You try to grab the wind. You try to contend, and you can't get it. You're going to continually be chasing and chasing. The next thing you know, 5 years pass, 10 years pass, 20 years pass, and where's your life gone? And you realize it's been wasted because you haven't found what brings true contentment. You haven't found that. And some people die without ever having found it. Some people will die. But here's the sad part about it. You know, and when I think about death, are people who don't believe. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Make me see it. Make me see it. Make me see it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to believe it. But every knee going to bow, every tongue going to confess, whether you accept or believe it or not, whether or not this is the truth is not contingent on your personal belief or acceptance. It's not. Because when you close those eyes and you go for that final rest, just like what happened with Adam Makawa. The eyes were open, but at the same time, they went into a deep sleep. Right now, we're born into a deep sleep. But when you connect to the Creator, that is when your eyes become open. See? That's why he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my student, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See? But you got to stick with it. And the more you walk, and this is what we experience, everything that I shared with you about what's going on in my life, you continue with the Most High, you keep walking with him, you keep going with him, and then your eyes become open more and more, and see what people hear when they hear. You're going to see things in the world too, but more importantly, you're going to see more about yourself. And what it is you need to change about yourself, what it means you need to shed, because you become more aware and in tune with the Creator. You begin to see things the way he sees it. Your mind becomes elevated. Now you know I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of that. Then you start to see this and you start to see that. While you are alive, people who reject majestic. But as soon as you close your eyes and you enter into the reality, you exit this world, you enter to the other world, and then you're faced with the truth. So he gave us the parable. Now, the Eliezer and the rich man, and they both died. But Eliezer, he was resting in Abraham's bosom. The rich man went to another place. And see, he uses the rich man for a reason. See? People who think they know. People, it's not just the material possession, but, you know, when you think about, I'm not going to get off into that tangent. Anyway, it's not just about material wealth. But here's the point. When that rich man died, he realized he entered into reality. See? Now he knows beyond a shadow of doubt that everything that was said in the prophets and in the Torah was real. Now he, can you please just let me go back and let my family know about this? Please, please just let me know. So, okay, if I can't do it, can you please get somebody back to them to let them know that this thing is real? Please. I don't want this for my family and my loved ones. And you know what the response was? Can't do it. He said, if they do not hear the law and the prophets, they will not hear if somebody was raised from the dead to come. They're not going to be told anything different. So they either accept or reject. But here's the beauty of it for anybody who is an unbeliever. He gave you that choice. So accept it. Accept the fact that you chose to be an unbeliever. Accept the fact that you chose to be disobedient. That same energy that you have when you want to talk about how foolish the Bible is and how stupid these people are that believe in the Bible, keep that same energy when your eyes is open to that reality. Keep that same energy because you chose that. You didn't have to reject it. You could have sat and humbled yourself. You could have learned at the feet of those whom the Most High chose to teach you his ways. And you could have taken their advice and step by step grown into a personal relationship with the Most High so that now it's not based on what anybody tells you. Now you know these things to be true because the Creator himself communes with you. See? The Creator himself. So it's not based on what somebody else says. So now, when the Creator communes with you, now you, when you sit under those who he's called, whom he's chosen, now you are more intent. See? Or attentive, excuse me. Not intent. You are more attentive to what's being said. Because you're not just listening with your carnal mind. You're now listening with your spirit. And it's relating because you too have a relationship with the Most High. And it's confirming everything that he's given. See? So let me finish this up so we will be done. And I will hope to see you all at the top of it. It's going to be a beautiful day, so hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 4:16 says, his followers could not even be counted. But years from now, no one will praise him. This makes no more sense than chasing the wind. And what he's talking about, this young ruler that came in the father. That's why we went to the direction of the 15 minutes. No, yeah. Everybody's talking about Cardi B. Everybody's talking about Meg Thee Stallion. Well, guess what? And I'm just using them as some celebrities out there. Guess what? Years ago, everybody was talking about Nicki Minaj. And before Nicki Minaj, everybody was talking about Lil' Kim. And before Lil' Kim, it was somebody else. And before her, it was somebody else. But said, guess what? Nobody cares about little Kim anymore. He's not, are they even relevant? You know, now that's the thing. You know, you're not even relevant. So now, you're trying to stay relevant because you now want to connect to this person that for some reason everybody says is relevant. So NBA Youngboy is relevant today. The baby and little baby and all these new. Well, guess what? At one point, they weren't relevant. At one point, it was about the Kanye West. You see, or the Jay-Z's. And before they was relevant, it was about the LL Cool J's and the Big Daddy Kane's and et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. See? And we see those who are not a part of that. We see that, the rise and the fall, the rise and the fall, the rise and the fall. We see it. Happens all the time. But people act like once they get in that, they're going to always stay relevant. They don't realize at some point you're going to fall off. The same thing happens in politics. You name it. Same thing happens in business. See? I remember Netflix when they first started. Used to get DVDs in the mail from them. Blockbuster was still doing VHS, and they tried to move it to the DVD, but it was too late. Netflix had things sold up. And then they started the streaming service. Netflix went way to the top. Well, guess what? People caught on. They started streaming services. Now, guess what? Netflix having some issues. They had competition now. See? Now you got Disney Plus. Now you got Prime. Now you got HBO Max. Now you got this and that. You ain't going to stay the top dog. At some point, you're going to fall. We see it over and over again. So what we as Bible students and Bible believers have to practice, contentment. What is your portion? And whatever that portion be satisfied with your portion. But even more important than your portion, you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father by way of your friend, Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty, trustworthy, and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his works. Abba, once again, I thank you for the blessing of life, the blessing and the privilege to stand before you and stand before your people. I pray that your word be engraved upon our hearts and our minds. And I pray that your word be the transforming power that it is to help each and every one of us as individuals to see the error of our ways, that we are not conformed to this world system, but by the renewing of our minds, we become new people through Mashiach Yahushua, our friend, our brother, our King. Lead and guide us this day, Abba, as we continue to bask in your glory and in your presence, that we lift holy hands and praise you accordingly, as you are worthy to be praised by the whole of the creation. May we come together and receive more knowledge and wisdom and understanding, as you shall deliver through your servant, Morey Ahav Al, Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah. Shabbat Shalom. Hopefully, I'll see you all at the talk later on today. Amen.